welcome to the Badass Breastfeeding Podcast. This is Diane, your lactation consultant.
And I'm Abby, the Badass Breastfeeder. And today's episode is brought to you by Sarah's Chill. Their epic freezer storage system, the Milk Stash, is the solution to all freezer stash problems. And we will hear more from our sponsor later, but you can head to badassbreastfeedingpodcast.com and check out our sponsor page and see all of our sponsors. And if you ever need anything, see if you can give them any of your business because they make this podcast possible. And while you're there, scroll down onto your email address and we'll send you episodes straight to your inbox every week. And we're on Patreon and we want to see you there. And you can enjoy our mini podcasts, our extra episodes, our live Zoom hangouts, our Revolution Parenting episodes. Head to the link, the top link in the show notes under this episode, wherever you're listening from. Check out the benefits and join us there. And we're still doing our ongoing giveaway. So send us those reviews from around the internet and we'll send you a goodie bag of stickers and thank you for nursing and public cards. Just send us a screenshot and your address to badassbreastfeedingpodcast@gmail.com. And now Diane has our review of the week.
Yes, and this came to you, I believe. No, this came to our email. And we just decided that we would read it as a review. Thank you for being part of our village. I wanted to share this story with you and also thank you so much for the info you share with moms like me. I've got a 27-month-old and a 6-month-old, each who have never had an ounce of formula, thanks to you ladies. When I was pregnant with my first, I wanted to breastfeed, but had very little confidence in my ability to do so. I'm so thankful I stumbled upon the podcast. I breastfed my first baby throughout my second pregnancy and even tandem nursed a couple of times. My son was ready to move on by the time my second was born. My daughter had a rough start, having a tongue tie, lip tie, 2 cheek ties revised when she was 3 weeks old. 5 weeks later, she was 8 weeks old. She was hospitalized with RSV. We were there 3 nights. The hospital room consisted of a crib and a couch. We safely bed share at home, and my daughter had never been in a crib. No way in hell was I going to leave her in a bed alone when she was so, so sick. Despite getting quite a bit of pushback from some nurses, though not all, I confidently climbed into that crib, cuddle curled, and breastfed that baby as much as I possibly could. She made a quicker recovery than we were originally told she would, and I truly believe it's because we were able to keep her hydrated and getting all the benefits of breast milk. You ladies are doing great work, making a big difference. Keep it up. P.S. I wish we could be friends in real life.
I remember this email.
I love this. I love that she just like stepped right into that crib and was like, no, I need to be with my baby.
Shout out. Have you ever been in a crib?
No.
I've been in a crib. Shout out to all the moms who've been in a crib.
Now, how come just you had to be in a crib?
Huh?
What happened to you that you needed to be in the crib?
Well, we were like in the transition to bed sharing, you know, because I was introduced to it as like the way that you kill your baby.
Oh, yeah.
And so I was not doing it. And I was totally afraid to do it. And then I was kind of doing these little steps like, okay, you can, you know, I think that, you know, the first one was like sidecar the crib to the side of the bed where you take the front bars off and you put it next to the bed. So then the baby's still sleeping on a separate surface, but you can like reach them. Well, we all know that I don't get that because my baby's not going to unlatch.
Right.
And like, they just don't. That's the whole point of bed sharing is just letting them nurse all night. So I would just get in the crib.
Yeah.
And nurse him. And that's usually, I mean, that's always the case, right? When you're getting into the crib, it's like, I'm just going to nurse this baby in the crib because I'm going to get in there because then that's how we're all going to get sleep.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah.
And I wish we could be friends in real life, too.
I know.
I wish we could be friends with all of our people.
I know.
We need friends.
Like month. Yeah, me too. We could have like monthly meetups at different places and have like a little like potluck where everybody brings their favorite things or, you know, not really because no, who can do that with a baby? Diane and I will bring the stuff.
Yeah, we'll bring the stuff.
And then we'll hold your babies. We'll bring like I'll bring two carriers. I can have a baby on my front and a baby on my back. And then you can go and eat other food and I have it all planned out. We got to just do it.
Oh my gosh, I wish we could.
Yeah.
So yeah. So we have it all planned. So everybody let us know who's going to be there. We'll do it.
Yeah. And it's all okay. Everybody will vote for their city.
Yeah, exactly. We are going to talk today about overactive letdown. I don't know if we ever talked about this. We've talked about oversupply.
Right. We did not. We have not talked about overactive letdown because specifically, like in a whole episode, because that's the message that I got. I think I got it on Instagram. And somebody was asking like about overactive letdown. And I think and then I think I sent the message to you and was like, do we have an episode on this?
Yeah, like I don't know how we don't have one yet.
I don't know either. Because I know we just have talked around it, I think. And yeah. But so we're doing it now. So what the hell does overactive letdown mean? It sounds to me like I have an overactive letdown. Like I get let down like really quickly, easily.
So overactive letdown is usually, I have always seen it and I think it can come by itself, but I have really seen it more with oversupply. I think they kind of can go hand in hand, although I think it can come by itself as well. But I think most of the time when we see it, it does come with oversupply, which is why I was like, wait, did we do this yet? And it's just when that milk comes so fast and furious to your baby. And it's just like, really, like your baby just
like
kind of
gagging and choking and drowning. They're like getting waterboarded.
Yeah, the baby's like, exactly. They're just, they're totally doing an Ozark. They're getting waterboarded by the, they're getting waterboarded by the milk. There's just like so much milk coming at them all of a sudden. And it's usually like, I mean, everybody is so different, right? When it comes to like milk letdown. Like, I don't know how yours was, but for me, like my letdown was very, especially with the twins, was very like painful. And I think it was probably a pretty like hard letdown, pretty overactive with them. But I only felt one letdown. And you have several letdowns. For those of you who don't know, like some people never feel them at all. And for some people, the only time you ever know that you have one is if your baby is like all of a sudden like gulping all this milk, and then you know, oh, okay, the milk must have let down. But some people never feel them. I only ever felt one. Did you ever feel like more than one?
Yeah, yeah. I felt it sometimes.
Yeah, I never felt more than one. I've had one.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't. Yeah. I didn't feel it every time, but I could feel it sometimes. And I think sometimes people are like in pain.
Mine were really painful. Oh. Yeah, mine were painful. But still only felt one. But I think sometimes too, like if you have like a really overactive letdown, sometimes the baby will choke like in the middle of a feed. But often when I see it, it's like the beginning of a feed, like babies are just like, like it's just, especially when they're brand new little babies and it's just too much for them. Sometimes it can take a little bit of time for them to kind of like get used to it and figure it out and like manage it. Mm-hmm. But they can be like kind of choky a little bit, kind of gaggy with it. Sometimes they'll just cough a little bit. Some babies will pull off. Like sometimes you will have babies that pull off and it's just like so much for them, like they won't go back on. But most of the time they'll pull off and maybe like cough a little bit and then just go right back on again and like milk spraying everywhere. You know, it's like,
my God. I found the messages. Oh, I actually have more than one that I could read and maybe discuss from there.
Yeah.
This was the most recent one I got, which I realize now. Oh, no, maybe this isn't the most recent one. Anyway, I'll read it anyway. And I noticed now that I never replied to this person, so I apologize. I replied once, and then she replied again, and then I never replied. And anyway, she says, do you have an episode on overactive or fast letdown? I think that's something I'm struggling with, but didn't realize it was a thing until yesterday at a lactation consultation. We talked through positions and some things to try, but I'm still a little lost. I couldn't find a specific episode on this, but I might have been using the wrong search terms. So I said that we don't have one specifically on that. And then, like, you know, can you give me some more details of what's going on? And, you know, Anyway, so her next message is, laid back breastfeeding helps sometimes, but it still feels like she's biting sometimes. Biting isn't exactly right as she has no teeth yet, but pinching or pressing down hard. So it's painful for me. I'd say 50% of the time I'm feeling the pinching and the biting that hurts me. I also try to hold her more belly to belly, and that can help. I was holding her more belly up before. I've also been trying to start on the side that doesn't seem to have such a quick flow and let a haka catch the quick flow side. Then she doesn't always want to switch sides. So it's all a learning process right now, but your podcast is certainly helping. And then she just goes on a little bit more from there. And then, go ahead.
One of the things that she's talking about, like the baby, one of the things that babies can do, because babies are pretty smart and they can figure out that if they clamp down or close their gums together on the breast, that'll slow the flow of milk for them.
Oh, that's very smart.
They're pretty smart little cookies and they can really like, but that's painful, obviously, as the person that wrote that email, because it sounds like that's what was going on, that the baby was clamping down sometimes.
Yeah, it sounds like that.
Mm-hmm.
Here's another one. It's I have an almost 3-week old and he's struggling with my overactive letdown. He coughs, wheezes while feeding and spits up anywhere from immediately after to a 1.5 hours later, or always after laying down. I've been trying different laid back positions and holding him upright for at least 30 minutes after feeding. I'm told pumping off a little at first might help. I don't want to hook up my Spectra each time just to do this. So I'm wondering if you have any thoughts on the Haka or Medela hand pump.
And that's kind of tricky because we don't want more milk, right?
Yeah, like that's exactly. Yeah, that's the problem with pumping a little, is that your body's like, oh, cool, we're using all this milk, so let's make more.
Yeah, so that can be a little bit hard too. So laying back or reclining, like, and you can do the laid back position if you find the laid back position hard to kind of get into. And the laid back position, all that is you're laying back with, you know, the baby across the front of you. One of the other things you can do is you can just put the baby in a regular, like, cross cradle position and then laying back. Those things, like if you're reclining or laying back or side lying, that can help because it'll slow the flow of milk naturally because gravity will slow things down. So that can really be helpful. I understand that not everybody, you can't like lay down every time you breastfeed. Like it's not always convenient to be able to do that. I mean, who doesn't want to just lay down all the time? But it's not always, you can't be out like in public and like be laying down.
Right.
It doesn't work like that.
Unless you're like at IKEA or something.
Exactly. Yeah. Or, you know, some kind of couch or mattress store. Then that would work out perfectly.
Yeah.
So Kelly Mom has some pretty good tips on here too, which I'll link in the show notes. But she's got some really good stuff about this. And it kind of makes me like chuckle a little bit. Does your baby do any of these things? Gag, choke, strangle. Strangle?
Strangle.
Strangling. But that is, you know, like they can definitely gag or choke or kind of gulping, a lot of gulping milk. You might hear that. You might hear some clicking. Like a lot of times when people call me and they'll say my baby is clicking when they send, because clicking is also like a tongue tie thing.
Mm-hmm.
So people get nervous if they hear that clicking. But if you're only hearing it like in the very beginning of a feeding or with like a milk letdown, kind of periodically you're hearing clicking, that's probably just the baby going faster to try to keep up with the milk flow.
Mm-hmm.
It's not because of a tongue tie thing. If the baby's clicking because of a tongue tie thing or because of a bad latch, then you're going to be hearing it the entire time they're on, not just in the very beginning and then it stops. Mm. They might not like to comfort nurse because it's just too overwhelming. So they might not be like comfort nursing at all. But because they're pulling off and on the breast, they might be getting more air, which means they might be more gassy. They do spit up more because they're getting more milk and they're getting it very quickly. So they do, they might spit up a little bit more too. Which
they haven't. Would lead to like some weird poops too, I imagine, if they're
usually like a lot of poop. Yeah. Because it's like I said, a lot of this goes hand in hand with oversupply.
Yeah.
So they're just getting a lot of milk. like a lot all of a sudden. And they might not go on both breasts. You know, the one email or the one message that you got said, I can't always get her to go on both. They might not, because they might be full off right. one.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Which is fine, because if they're only feeding off of one, your supply is going to kind of get itself under control. But the thing I think that is kind of frustrating for some people is that this isn't a fix that you can make overnight. A lot of times stuff like this, you have to kind of like try to manage and try to keep your baby as comfortable as possible while your supply is managing itself. Because this is stuff that you'll see more like in the beginning when your supply is still kind of like becoming regulated. And then as things start to become more regulated over time, you see it less and less. But that's mm-hmm. really hard for people, because it's like, okay, my baby is struggling with this oversupply. I have this not oversupply necessarily, but I've with this overactive letdown. It's so hard to feed because the baby's like choking every feeding and it's really hard and they're spitting up all the time. And it's kind of like frustrating, because what are you going to say? Well, it's, you got to wait a little, several weeks before your body kind of, you know, handles the supply.
Yeah.
But it's really more about like trying to just keep babies comfortable mm-hmm. and trying to kind of make it so that they're not as miserable with things happening. And just kind of a thing about spitting up real quickly is like, babies spit up. Like, even if you don't have an overactive letdown, a lot of babies will spit up. And it's not always a problem, but it feels like it is one. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, nobody yeah. likes their baby spitting up.
Right. It's like, oh my God, the baby threw up. It's like, and it's not the same as throwing up. But anything coming out of your baby, I think, is kind of alarming.
But sometimes there's not much you can do about it.
Yeah.
You know, and I've had people be like, oh my God, the baby spits up so much. But I will say that if your baby spits up, that doesn't mean you have to continue feeding them either. Because sometimes people are like, oh, the baby just spit up everything I gave them. It always looks like more than it is.
Yeah.
They're not spitting up all the milk that they just took in. And sometimes, we have to wait till things regulate a little bit before it gets better. But why don't we take a break, and then we can like talk about some things we can do for these little babies.
All right. Awesome. We'll be right back. Today's episode is brought to you by Sarah's Chill, a company that never stops making the lives of breastfeeding parents easier. Tons of expensive landfill plastic and short-term products are so yesterday. Created by a mom for moms, Sarah's Chill knows how important every ounce of breast milk is. Their epic freezer storage system, the Milk Stash, is the solution to all freezer stash problems. No more leaking bags, wasted milk, or crammed, disorganized freezer spaces. The Milk Stash freezes milk in perfectly portioned 1 ounce cubes, so you can easily defrost the exact amount of milk you need for a bottle without wasting an entire bag. It's space saving, easy to clean, and great for teething nets too. The Milk Stash is FSA, HSA reimbursable and lasts a lifetime. Use it for frozen baby food purees, fruit infused cubes, or jello shots for the block party after your journey is over. This is truly breast milk storage reimagined. Head over to Sarah's Chill, that's CeresChill.com, or check them out on Instagram at the same name. Use code BADASS for 15% off of your purchase. And you can find information about Sarah's Chill and the link and the promo code in the show notes under this episode, wherever you're listening from, in the same place that you can find the Patreon link. And you can also head to badassbreastfeedingpodcast@gmail.com. No, that's our email. You can head to badassbreastfeedingpodcast.com to find more about sponsors and all of our other episodes, and also information about scheduling your very own one-on-one online lactation consultation with Diane.
Yes. So, some things that you can do. So these poor little babies are like, help me. Help me, because I'm getting way too much milk and it's coming very, very quickly. So one of the things that we want to make sure we aren't doing is creating more milk. So we want to be sure that you are doing like minimal pumping if you have to pump at all. If your baby is only eating off one side, don't pump that other side if you can help it. Maybe just hand express a little bit if you're too, if you're feeling uncomfortable. Hakas can actually, because of that suction, sometimes they're really like suctioned on there. They can cause more milk because it's suctioning on there and it's pulling milk out. So if it's not just like catching, if it's like suctioned on, really suctioned on there good, and it's just pulling milk out, that is going to cause more milk. So it's going to like work like a pump does. So sometimes your haka might be part of the problem. So hand expressing a little bit where you can control it a little bit better, to just to where you're comfortable, not so much that you're, you know, really emptying the breast out. So you might never, if you're kind of like signs of forceful letdown, and this is stuff, like I said, I'm going to like link in so that you can see, is if you're really like feeling that letdown, you're really feeling like the pins and needles feeling. That's what it feels like. It feels like a pins of needles, like pressure kind of tingling kind of feeling. It can be painful. If you have that overactive letdown, that forceful letdown, it can feel a little bit painful. You may have like more leaking on a on the side that is not, you're not feeding on. You might have a lot more leaking on that side. If your baby is pulling off the breast, or if your baby is choking and you take your baby off the breast, your baby, remember, coughing is not choking. Sometimes people really get scared if their baby starts coughing with the milk supply. Mm-hmm. And they pull, you know, like pull the baby off and they're like, oh my God, you know, they really, really get scared that the baby's going to choke. And if they're coughing, it's okay. They're getting it out. They're handling it. Mm-hmm. You know, like they're handling it okay. There's been so many times where I've seen people for overactive letdown where the baby's really gulping and might cough a couple of times, but not necessarily pull off. And the mom's like, oh, it's like, nope, they're handling it. They're handling it. If they're handling it okay, then leave it alone. If they pull off, then use that as a time where let your milk kind of spray maybe into a towel or something like that so that you can, they can kind of get past that letdown. Mm-hmm. You can do that. Like if you feel it coming, you can take your baby off like really quickly to, you know, try to get a burp out of them or whatever, just kind of like play it off. But take them off real quick, let your letdown happen, and then put them back on again. It only take a second, you know, it doesn't take very long. But you might have like, you might notice all that spraying, you know, sometimes people are like, oh my God, it's like a garden hose. It's just like, so like spray so much.
I know. And we're like, breastfeed in public, do everything. It's amazing. And the people with overactive letdowns are like, yeah,
exactly.
That's a little weird for us.
So putting your baby in a tummy to tummy position, like laid back, keeping your baby's head higher than their little butt is. So you want your baby's head, don't put them in a position where they're like completely laying down. Like if you're sitting up, if you're both laying down, that's okay. But if you're sitting up and your baby is laying down and they're kind of like all their body is all in a line, then that might be a little bit harder for them to manage it. But if they're a little bit more upright, then they're going to handle it a little bit better. Reclining is better for your baby as well, because like I said, that just slows the flow of milk a little bit. You can hand express a little bit of milk before starting. Like, I don't blame that one mom that messaged you and said, getting out my pump every time beforehand.
Oh, I know. What a pain in the ass. Yeah.
Right.
Totally.
Like, I mean, I don't expect you to like drag out your whole pump system and everything, but you can hand express a little bit of milk off if you know your baby's going to be eating soon or you're waiting for your baby to wake up. Especially, you know, sometimes this only happens, like, say, if it's been a few hours, like maybe in the morning when your supply is more plentiful anyway, you might have that overactive letdown. But if your baby's eating every couple hours during the day, it might be a little bit easier for them to manage. But if you have, you know, a lot of milk in the morning because your baby slept, you know, 4 or 5 hours overnight, then it might be a little bit harder. So, you know, try to hand express off some of that milk real quick and just kind of make it a little bit easier for them. You can also like compress the breasts a little bit in order to block some of those milk ducts during the letdown. I've seen some people do that, like just kind of like hold the breast, kind of compress it a little bit. So that slows things down for the baby as well. Try to take them off and burp them a little bit more frequently because they are gulping and getting a little bit more air. So taking them off and like helping them to kind of get rid of some of that air during the feeding more often than you normally would can be really helpful with the spitting up. Trying to like be mindful, I guess is a better word, about what you're doing with your baby afterwards. Like if you're changing their diaper afterwards and you're like pulling their legs up and you're flipping them around and, you know, like all of that stuff, like that can be a little bit like you're going to see some spitting up, you know. So rocking them side to side, like if you're changing a diaper right after they eat, maybe rocking that, like kind of rolling them from side to side to change their diaper instead of pulling their legs and like folding them in half might be a little bit more comfortable for them. You might see a little less.
It's like having a really big meal and then like trying to tie your shoes.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Nobody wants to bend it and like bend themselves in half when you've had a really big meal.
After Thanksgiving dinner. Yeah.
I know. You just want to like sit in a big onesie and. Not have anything touching you, you know?
Yep.
And it's just really like how it feels like how you want it to be. So it can really kind of be a little bit challenging because, like I said, babies can feel a little bit distressed. They can look a little, you know, like this is a lot on them because they're just getting all of this milk all of a sudden. So if you're unsure, if you have a forceful letdown, like I said, you might feel that. You might feel the letdown, but you might also like be feeling like, okay, the feels like the baby is doing some of that pinching, or maybe your nipple might look a little bit white from the baby kind of like compressing. Those kinds of things can be happening as well during, you know, during a feeding. Maybe you take the baby off and you're like, okay, my nipple is like totally white and compressed and flattened. Mm. And I thought the latch was good. Latch probably is fine. Or, you know, but it might be that they're just really compressing to try to slow that flow of milk down so that they can kind of take a break, you know, kind of get a little bit of a break. Mm-hmm. So don't be afraid to take your baby off. I know sometimes people are like, well, then the baby will cry if I take the baby off the breast. I don't want to take the baby off the breast. If it'll help them in the long run, take them off, let the milk flow for a second, get a burp out of them, and then put them back on. And kind of keep in mind that this is not how your breastfeeding relationship is going to be the entire time. This is just until we can kind of get your milk supply a little bit more regulated and get everything kind of like normalized, so to speak. And that will be much better for your baby. It won't be all the time that this is going to be like this. It's just part of the time. And then as your supply regulates, it's going to be better. But it can take a little time for things to regulate. So during that time, you just have to be able to manage it with things like switching the positioning and hand expressing a little bit and stuff like that.
Yeah. That's such a good idea to like nurse for a little bit when the letdown comes. Take them off and let down into a towel and then put them back on again.
Yeah.
Like that seems like perfect.
Yeah, that can really help a lot. And, you know, nobody wants to waste that milk, but.
No, you can get one of those milk catcher things.
Yeah, you can absolutely
get a milk catcher. Not the haka because that's going to.
Right.
Pull the milk out, but like something that just catches it, like the milk saver or whatever.
So a couple of the things that Kelly Mom says here. And she even says here, too, like pump or hand express until the flow of milk slows down and then put the baby to the breast. But use this only if nothing else is working because it can stimulate more milk production.
Right,
and that's
right.
not what we want to do. But if you do use if you do that, just express a little bit less each time until you're no longer expressing before you're, you know, before you're putting the baby on.
Yeah.
Avoid trying to reduce milk supply during the first 4 to 6 weeks. This is a time period when your milk supply should be increasing rapidly, and it's not unusual for a small baby to have temporary issues with even normal supply or letdown in the early week. So it might be that your baby is just trying to get, you know, trying to figure things out. I have noticed too that if it's a baby that's not feeding well anyway, like they're not latching really well, maybe there is a tongue tie issue, something like that, there might have a little bit more problem trying to handle your letdown. So it doesn't hurt to see a lactation consultant just to make sure, like, is this the only problem? Is it just my letdown that's causing a problem, or is there something else here happening? Is there something else going on that could be making it harder for my baby to manage a milk supply? Because we want your baby to be able to manage your milk supply. So a couple of things. If your baby is not gaining weight well, then it's definitely, you know, if your baby's gaining weight fine or gaining weight rapidly, then feeding on only one breast at a time is okay. But if they're not gaining weight well, we definitely don't want you to mess around with your milk supply. You know what I mean? Like, you want to be able to, you know, be like, okay, well, I think the baby's choking a lot, but they're not gaining weight well. You know, what's going on there? You definitely need to see a lactation consultant to find out what is going on. So decreasing supply without limiting the baby's feeds is called block feeding. And that's one of the things that we kind of do. And all that is like feeding on one breast per feeding and only doing that for like a short period of time until your supply kind of starts to slow down a little bit. And the idea behind that is that you're leaving milk in one breast. The baby's only feeding on one side and you're leaving milk in the other breast. And that's telling your body, oh, we don't need this milk. And it kind of slows things down a little bit for you. But the thing to remember, because I've had this happen with families, it's like you have this overactive letdown attached to an oversupply. You've got lots of milk. The baby's having a hard time handling it. We slow down the supply by doing a little bit of block feeding. And then I have parents that are like, oh my God, where's my milk supply? Because you're so used to having such an abundant supply that it causes a lot of anxiety.
That happens all the time, right? I mean, people, it's even if they're just a regular situation where their supply ends up evening out, people are like, oh my God, what's happening? My breasts aren't rock solid.
And that's not what we want for you. No, it's not supposed to be like that. But people get so much anxiety over their supply. And instead of watching the baby and looking at the baby, it's like, okay, your baby's gaining fine. Your baby is having great wet and dirty diapers. Your baby is not choking at the breast anymore. Your baby's spitting up a little bit less. Your supply is fine. Everything is normalized. Everything is good. But instead, people are like, oh my God, I don't feel as full as I did before. You know, what's going on? I must not have enough milk. I'm only pumping 4 ounces instead of 8. No, that's not even like, if you feed your baby and you can pump anywhere from like 3 to 4 ounces, 3 to 5 ounces after you feed your baby, you have way too much milk.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot of milk, and it's way more milk than what your baby needs. And I know that we get into these places where we're like, well, I have to go back to work, so I need to have all this stash. And, you know, and it's just like, it's so hard because our babies end up being the ones paying the price for this, because then they struggle a lot trying to manage your supply because it's too much for them.
Yeah. Man. As if it's not hard enough.
I know. I know it. And trying to like get it perfect is really, really hard. So try to really just like keep your baby comfortable. The best things to try to do while we're managing everything is to adjust your positioning. I really think that's the best thing that you can do. Really trying to like lean back, lean back more, recline a little bit more, put the baby in a cradle position or a cross cradle position, or even in a football hold and just lean back or lay down, because that those things will help to really slow the flow of milk and your baby won't have to struggle as much with it. If the baby's spitting up a lot, just, you know, if they don't seem to be bothered by it, if it doesn't seem to be hurting them or doesn't seem to be painful for them, there's not a whole lot you can do. You know, keep them upright for a little bit after, burp them more frequently, keep them upright for as long as you can after the feeding. And that will help them to stay a little bit more comfortable with the spitting up. But there's nothing your pediatrician can do. You know, like there's really not much anybody can do if your baby is spitting up. They just have to kind of grow out of it, which they do. Remember not to like bend your baby in half when you're changing a diaper, kind of roll them from side to side a little bit instead. And that can help keep them a little bit more comfortable. But just kind of like be mindful that, you know, okay, I have a lot of milk and the baby's kind of, you know, we're trying to get things under control a little bit. But it can take a little time. That's all. It's not an overnight fix, and your body needs to kind of regulate the supply, and that can take a little bit of time.
These are good things to remember when you're like, I wish I had more milk. I wish I had tons of milk.
Oh my gosh. Oversupply is not an easy thing
to be. Yeah, it's problematic if you have so much milk that's coming out so much and spraying everywhere. That's not what we want.
Mm-mm. That is not what we want at all for your baby or for you. Like, who wants to be spraying milk all over the place?
Yeah, it's hard to manage, and it's not.
Yeah, people are like, I smell like milk all the time. I got milk everywhere. Spraying my baby in the face. You know, I mean, it's fun. Like spraying your baby in the face with milk.
I used to do that just like on purpose. They would sit in my lap and I would just squirt them in the face.
When they were older, not when they're like a month old.
Well, yeah, not when they're a tiny baby, I guess. More like a toddler or older baby.
Yeah, no, it's so I will link some of this. I will link this stuff in the show notes, like the Kelly Mom and, you know, some other stuff. La Leche League's got some really great info about it as well. So I can link some of this in, but just kind of keep in mind that you need to be a little patient with it. Things like position changing can help. Take your baby off if they start to choke. Let that letdown happen. Kind of catch it in a towel and put the baby back on once it's passed. Everything will manage itself out. Everything will work itself out. It's really just what you need to do in the meantime to kind of help get through it. But see a lactation consultant or definitely talk to one just to make sure, like, is this the only problem or is there really a latch problem? Is there really, you know, something else going on there that's making it extra hard for your baby to handle everything?
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you for listening.
Thank you. Good luck.
Bye.
Bye.